audio. Thank God for another study today. And let me just refresh this somehow. There you go. And now I'll put the study back up. Is the study up? There it is.
Your sound is too high. What's your end?
Oh, well, I'm going to step back. That's when I was closer.
It's
okay. We are One Messiah Congregation. We're going to blow the trumpet right now. Well, Shabbat Shalom. We are One Messiah Congregation, Kalcha B'Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God around the world. And we are commissioned to go seek the lost sheep, right? Little sheep are out there just running all over, back and forth, to and fro. But we're trying our best. We're just a little piece of the Adat Yisrael. And today is the seventh Sabbath of the seven Sabbaths we were told to count. It's amazing, isn't it? 7 weeks went by.
Yeah. Fast.
Seems like we just started this, didn't
we? I don't think you're on the mic.
And I'm not on the mic, all right. Well, anyway, I'm back again. And this is the seventh Sabbath of the seven Sabbaths we were told to count. Can everyone see? Is the video working okay? Basically, spiritually, from slaves in Egypt, our past lives of sin, to the people of the God of Israel. And that's what it was all about. And I always try to think about this during the 7 weeks, receiving the Torah, the law again, to receiving the Holy Spirit, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is really important. And I don't know if anyone here has received it or not. I hope you do. Anyway, it's available. But today's the Shabbat, and we'll ask God to bless and anoint this study today, okay? Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, first we ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, anything that would separate us from a holy living God, knowing that you're so pure and holy, Father, and we're just the dust of the earth. Heavenly Father, make us more like you. We pray for the attributes of the living God. Bless and anoint this study today. I pray, Lord and God, that you teach us something new. I thank God for the 7 weeks of contemplation, of traveling this distance spiritually and knowing that now you're available, which you're always available, Father. But we do this in memorial. Bless and anoint everyone here. I pray you'll send down healing upon every one of us. I know you hear us, and I thank and praise you, Lord and God, for healing and for strength, for deliverance. Put a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil. And I praise you, Father. I pray that you'll bring more people to us or show us where they're at. We'll go get them. Heavenly Father, we know your sheep are out there. Bless and anoint everyone here, and bless everyone on the internet and everyone that would hear this study in the future on my servers. And I thank God for protecting our little servers back there. We praise you for everything, Lord. No, we trust you for everything, and we lean upon you for everything. And may God be with you, and may our Father bless you today in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Amen. Ah, this is June 11th. There's June, of course. We say it so freely from the Gregorian calendar from the 1500s. Very sad. Juno is a goddess of the Roman pantheon. She's the goddess of marriage and well-being of women. I don't know about that. She's the wife of the sister of Jupiter. She's identified with the Greek goddess Hera. And you know, the reason why I put all this down is so people, you know, because we say June like it's no big deal, but that's really where it comes from. And that's to show how pagan everything really is. We are painted in a picture called your life, and everyone, most people are just living the picture frame they've been put in spiritually, and we just go, it's June. No big deal. But Jehovah has his own calendar, Yehovah, and it's the fifth day of Sivan, the third month, and that's really important. And there's the little word, I parsed it down to the word Siv in Hebrew, and it means bright, splendid, you know. That's really nice to look at, because it really is bright and splendid out there. You know, my ministry is a teaching ministry. I have many subjects that I even forgot about on my website. I just got like thousands of pages and videos and audios and things I even forgot, because I was in different segments of my life talking to many different types of people and, you know, battling rabbis and messianics and non-believers and preterists and all kinds of characters. And unfortunately, I had to learn a lot of different things to converse with people. And I always say you don't have to go fully into learning what they believe, but it's good to know a little bit, to know your enemy, so to speak, so you can converse with them and maybe talk to them. And it's really important. And remember, one soul is important as any soul. So don't esteem one nationality above another nationality, because God says all souls are mine. And that's really important. So anyway, I'd like to delete some of these things for you. My server is still running back there. You could read my subjects. I made it available where you could listen to them. You could watch them. You could even download them to your MP3 players if you're so inclined, you know, if you feel like it. But they are available. You can't ever say, well, I don't know what to do with myself. Well, believe me, my website has many things for you to study and learn. So maybe you should utilize some of your time doing that, because it's not just there. It's doing, you know, and I'm really happy. Some people I get phone calls and people are watching my website. One guy said he even read the whole thing, which I don't know if I believe that, because there's so much there. I mean, it would take a long time to do that. But anyway, it is available. So try to spend some time on it and look up different topics. I made some search bars. I always use the second search, which makes it easier to search my site for maybe a different topic maybe you're interested in. I'm pretty sure I covered most topics, because I don't know if I know, not every topic, but I mean the ones that we came in contact with. We're streaming live right here at this URL. You can put that in Real Player if you have a computer. There's a link there to schedule me in. I used to be scheduled in. I haven't received any invitations lately, but we used to be scheduled in many places. Anyway, here's a little list of my last 6 studies, in case you forgot them. Last week was Counting the Cost again. And then it was all about faith. And matter of fact, almost every one of my studies is about that. And then there was another subject I talked about, time and judgment. Everything has time and judgment. And that's an interesting thought, that everything you do is being recorded. And how you spend your time during the day, I guess one of these days, when we meet the Lord, the main thing we're all going to say is, I wish I would have did more. I wish I would have did more. So now's the time to say that, and maybe pray more, fast more, read more, talk to people more, do something, you know, do something for God. Anyway, then they were told to tarry, and that's what we tarried spiritually again. And then, of course, I did a study on our testimony, which is the record of our short little lives here on the earth, which in comparison to infinity, it's very short. You know, it's just a little nothing. It's negligible compared to infinity. It's just amazing, our little lifespan. Even if you live to be 95 or 100, it's nothing. And then I did a study on, 7-week journey that started in April 30th. Wow. And here we are in June. Isn't that fast? Time goes fast. Yeah. Just time waits. That's an old saying, time waits for no one. And, of course, we were told to count the Sabbaths, and we did. Thank God. We did it again, and it's over now. We didn't count Omers. I still can't understand why people, if you go online, people are still doing that. You know, I don't know. It's just shocking to me. Well, tomorrow, of course, is a Sabbath also, and it's the Feast of Weeks, Chag Shavuot, the Feast of Harvest. And it's the wheat harvest, right? Yeah. Chag HaKatzir. And it's Pentecosti in the Greek. It's the 50th day. So we were talking this morning, why does this holy day have 50 days? And that number 50 seems to be very important, because that's a jubilee too. And there's a lot of thoughts we could add to it. But, you know, it has 50 days. Why? Why 50 days from the resurrection is the feast of the giving of the Holy Spirit? You know, why 50 days from first fruits is the giving of the Torah, you know, Mount Sinai? Could have been, why isn't it 60 or 49 or 30? But there's always a reason for everything. That's something we'll have to think about a little more, ponder.
Selah.
Today's study, I just wanted to talk a little about receiving from the Father. That's really important. The Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. Wow. You know, I was thinking about how just amazing this entity that we're dealing with is, so beyond our imaginations, and he's invisible too. And I'm sure he's right in the midst of us right now, in the name of Yeshua. And his Holy Spirit, I hope, is here. You know, I just thank God that, you know, when we talk of his word, he said he inhabits the praises of his saints, and his word is spirit, and his word is life, you know. So the Spirit of God is in his word, you know. And the word receive is really important. I was looking that up. To take into one's possession something offered or delivered. Something, to have something bestowed, conferred, to have delivered or brought to one, to you personally. To get or to be informed of, receive instructions, you know. I was thinking of that word, receive, you know. And receiving the word is really important. And the law and the Torah, which is the teachings and also the law, and the Spirit of God anew, afresh, probably every day would be great, not just today, but being renewed, you know, renew everything in our hearts. So the seven-week journey to meet God again, how did you do these 7 weeks? Did anything happen? Any kind of things that were tried you, or did you get tested, or did you even think about you were in the seven-week journey, or you forgot, or, I mean, you know, it's really important. You know, I was thinking in the desert, the wilderness, basically our lives. Did you make any new commitments the seven-week journey to meet God in the desert, the wilderness, known as our lives? You may not think of your life as a wilderness, but it really is, because God is extracted out of it. Everywhere you go, once you leave the building, there's no God anymore. In the desert, in the wilderness, there would seem to be nothing to get in that would go wrong, huh? Right? Seems like you're in a wilderness. I mean, there's not a lot to trick you or tempt you. Well, however, you're there. Your heart is there. And Satan's there.
Yeah.
And again, it's all about faith and receiving from God, right? So wherever you are, you know, we're in basically the galut, you know, the spiritual exile right now. Even though you may not feel like you're in exile, but we are. And here's a word, midbar, or midbar. And sometimes it means a pasture that's open, it's a field where cattle or other animals may be. It's uninhabited, basically, and it could be a desert. Or sometimes it means wilderness. It actually means wilderness 255 times in the Torah, and desert 13 times, I noticed, this word midbar. You know, it's an interesting word. It also means to speak, right? There's a desert in the dictionary or lexicon definition, a region so arid because of little rainfall that it supports only sparse and widely spaced vegetation or no vegetation at all. Sahara is I would think of that immediately. It's a vast sandy desert. But it's any area in which few forms of life can exist because of lack of water, permanent frost, or the absence of soil. Sometimes even in an ocean, the area of an ocean in which it is believed no marine life exists. That's called a desert also. But basically, spiritually, you know, reading this, the physical, you have to always think about the spiritual. So in the world we live in, you know, even when you go amongst wherever you work, you're working with the Hittites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, and all the people of the lands, and you got to watch out for their traits, their habits, their actions, the way they talk, the way they carry themselves. You know, we're amongst the exile. We're amongst the people here, and it's really a thing to think about. A wilderness, a wild and uncultivated area, as of a forest desert, inhabited only by wild animals, a tract of wasteland. So whether you know it or not, we're in exile and scattered, you know. That's why we have to seek the sheep, right? My study was about what you brought up, believe it or not. The exile has become our way. This exile, you know, has become our way of life. Sometimes you don't even think about you're in exile because you get so caught up in what's going on, something called your life, and what you have to do, you know. So we're born in complacency, you know. Basically, what is complacency? A feeling of quiet pleasure or security, often while unaware of some potential danger, defect, or the like. So in other words, we have to always be mindful we walk by faith, not by sight. That's important. We can't get caught up in the day, even though we thank God for a beautiful day and the beautiful sun and, you know, everything reminds us of God, but we have to walk by faith and not by sight. We don't live by feelings and emotions. Feelings and emotions can trick you. Feelings and emotions can do you in. You have to walk by faith, which is something totally different, you know? They said, all that Jehovah had spoken, we will do. Is that right? And so we have Exodus in chapter 19, before the Torah was given in Exodus 20. They came into the third month, Sivan, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt. The same day came they into the Midbar, the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai, and they pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel encamped before the mount. And you would think, gosh, these people have it made. You know, here we are in the Galut amongst the Amorites, the Hittites, so to speak. I'm talking spiritually. You're around no one of God all day long during your work week, right? There might be some nice Hittites, don't get me wrong. But I mean, they're still not of God. No, but these guys were all together collectively in a more of a communal kind of life, and they were in the desert. You would think, wow, they got it made, you know? They're all together, everyone's watching each other, making sure no one's doing anything wrong. But, you know, we know the rest of the story. And all the people answered together and said, all that Jehovah had spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Jehovah. Then we go far into the future in the book of Psalms, you know, from back there in the Torah. Look what it says. How oft did they provoke me in the wilderness? They actually provoked God in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. I mean, think about it. You know, they sort of had it, I don't want to say they had it made, but they were more in a collective group, which would probably make it a lot easier. I mean, they didn't have to go to work. They didn't have to go anywhere. They were just all together living, right? The children of Israel, I'm talking about. And but they provoked God in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and they tempted God in the desert. That's amazing. I mean, just think about that. God gave them manna from heaven. He called it angel's food, you know, in the English. And their shoes never waxed old, and, you know, they had it made. Clothes didn't wear out. I mean, but they wanted more. You know, people always, your flesh always wants something else or something more, or is there more to this, you know, or is there more? You know, I remember have some people, speaking of that kind of thing, we had people come to our congregation in the past that we just weren't enough for them. And I thought to myself, well, the Bible is infinite. You might think you read it, but there's so many depths and so many ways of looking at Scripture that will take you your whole life and more. Maybe you seek God, you know, read His Word. I mean, you can't wait upon someone else to feed you all day long. I think we're having a guest come right there. Numbers 14:22 says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. Just think of that. They tempted God 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Are people parking in Al-Swat and going over there? That's terrible. You're going to have to get the signs, no parking. Anyway, it says, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. So if you murmur or complain about anything that God has set before you, I mean, that could be anything. It could be it's too hot, it's too long, it's too cold, it's too short, it's too far, it's too near, it's too this, it's too... If you stop murmuring, God might do something to you. I'm always ready for whatever God has prepared, you know, whatever I have to do. I don't care where it is, when it is, what I have to do. Just go. Just do it. I don't want to be one of these people that provoke God. A few verses from receiving. There are many verses in the Bible. You're supposed to receive things from God, not just, and I don't mean a new car or a new house or a new boat or something. I mean, like in the book of Acts, we have, it says, but you shall receive power. That's what we want, power in God, don't you? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in the Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth. And this is what God told them there in the book of Acts. And so this is important. And when he had spoken these things, they beheld and he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That's really important, that cloud. Matter of fact, how's he coming back? In the clouds. That, the same Yeshua that you see go up, he's going to come back in like manner. And some people that think Messiah came back already, I don't see how they can even believe that, because I don't remember seeing anyone coming in the clouds. Do you? Anyway, Peter said unto them, Peter had a good message. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for the remission of sins, and you shall, you will, affirmative, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we're not talking about Protestants or Pentecostals nonsense. We're talking about really receiving power of God. There are gifts of God if you seek. For the promises, he says, is unto you and unto your children that haven't even been born yet, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So this promise, these promises are even available today if you seek God for power. You know, you can consider, look, examine your own self. Do you feel that, you feel like a sold out vessel to God? Or are you just doing the bare minimums to get by? Or you feel sold out? Do you feel like you're really, you know, like wearing yourself out for God or something? You know, that's something to think about. And I don't mean every day has to be, you know, carrying the cross every day. I don't mean that. I mean, but there has to be, you should have some type of, I guess, organization in your mind of, let's see, what am I going to do for God this week? Besides doing your job, you have to do your job just to eat. That's all that's for, to eat and put a roof over your head. That's what that's about. But what are you really doing? What are you doing for God? Because that's for eternity, forever. So receiving the gifts of God would be something to seek after. It says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So it seems like every generation is the same situation, you know, they're wicked. And it says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, imagine, could you imagine this? The same day were added unto them about 3,000 people. So how many people was he talking to there, Peter? How many people were they all talking to? Amazing. People were really seeking God, you know. Yeshua cried and said, he that believes on me, believes not on me. You're really believing on the Father that sent me. Because I'm the Word, I'm his Word made flesh. A lot of people, I notice, they never talk about the Father, but the Father is the God, and Yeshua is the Word made flesh, his Word, but it's still the Father, right? That's why Yeshua says that. If you believe in, you know, you're not believing on me, you're believing on him that sent me, and he that sees me, it says, and he that sees me sees the Father that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. That's really important. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's important. He that rejected me and receiveth not my words has one that's going to judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same is going to judge you in the last day. That's scary, isn't it? Especially if you don't read the Bible. All of us here, you know, we read the Bible. Imagine the people that don't read the Bible. And, you know, you're just not aware of what's required of you. You should understand what's required of you, right? For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, that's who I'm speaking about, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And this eternal life is in the Son, you know. That's why you have to have the Son. That's why it's really important, the Word of God. Then we have the people in Berea. You ever hear everyone talks about they want to be like the Bereans? It's just people that lived in Berea. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica.
Yeah.
That they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And that's how you're supposed to seek. Not once a week on the Sabbath, but daily. Try to do a little seeking every day. Make that a part of your life. Make it a little piece of your life. Seek something, do something. Right? This is the Romans. We also joy in God through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, by whom we have received the atonement. That's something to definitely receive. You know, it's not like the Catholics, they're going to be saved, and other religions. No, we're saved today by faith. If you're keeping the commandments, and after you accept the Messiah and the blood that he shed, the sacrifice, the free gift, that is the grace of God, you know. If we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, when Satan tries to make you fear about something, just rebuke, say, come against you, Satan, in the blood of the Messiah, get away from me, and the power of God. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, which means Father, right? Abba. Now, we have not received not the spirit of the world, right? But the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So today we're here on the Shabbat and we're fellowshipping like the Bible says. Now here's something that you're never going to be late for. Here's an appointment. It says we must all appear. Here's an appointment you're not going to be late for. And we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. That's amazing, because that means everything you do is going to be, wow, you have to give account. Wow. Let's see, how many hours did you read the Bible as opposed to watch TV? Or how many hours did you... Well, I know you got to go to work for hours. You can't really do that there. But when you come home, did you get a little Bible? And did you squeeze a couple of verses? Did you talk about God during the day or something? You know, you got to, because that's eternal. I mean, you know, or did you, how many hours did you, I don't know, can't talk about gardening all day long? I mean, you know. There's nothing wrong with that stuff, just that everything has to be done in moderation. Moderation. Receiving and believing by faith go hand in hand. So while you're in the desert, the wilderness, which is your life, your little lifespan that you have, it's a wilderness without God. That's what I'm talking about. It's a desert, dry of spiritual activity out there, except for satanic activity. So you're supposed to be receiving from the Father, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Yeah, you can get weary. Thomas was always, he's known as the Doubting Thomas, huh? You guys hear that your whole life?
Yeah.
Yeshua had to tell him, reach hither your finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas said to Yeshua right there, my Lord and my God. Amen. No, that's always interesting to think about when you meet Yeshua, when we meet him. Is he going to have scars in his hand? I wonder. It's not something to think about all day long, but it's something to think about, because right here he says, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, where he was pierced. So is that song true? The only thing in heaven that's made by man is the scars in the hands of Yeshua?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm
But right here, but right, the reason why I'm saying it, right here, he had his resurrected body. Which is good.
It appears to be that way.
It appears that way, right? So the only thing made by man. Wow, that's weird to think of. Thomas, anyway, getting away from that. Okay, settle down. Yeshua said unto him, Thomas, Yeshua said, get the whole, everybody going wild here. Okay, Yeshua said unto him, Thomas, because you have, now this is something to listen to, this is for us. Thomas, because you have seen and believe, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. That's us, praise the Lord. It gives me the chills, right? Because it's like, we haven't seen, we just believe by faith. Everything you're doing is by faith. Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't even know if that Bible, if you really think of the Torah, you know, if you that Bible you hold in your hand, you're really believing it by faith. Otherwise, that's just some book somebody might have wrote. Well, you're believing by faith. It's God-filled instruction, right? Otherwise, it's just another book, and who, you know, take it or leave it. Peter says, Brother Peter, I like to call up these people that in the Bible that were Torah observant. Peter says, Peter is an apostle. He turned into an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah. And he's writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification of the Spirit, holiness, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood. There's that sprinkling like in the Torah. They sprinkled everybody. But it's the sprinkling of the blood of Yeshua, the Messiah. Grace unto you and shalom be multiplied. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, who according to his abundant mercy had begotten us unto a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Yeshua, the Messiah, from the dead. In other words, the resurrection, without the resurrection, your faith is vain, everything you're doing is make-believe, and this whole thing's a waste of time. In other words, if Yeshua didn't raise from the dead, we're all in our sins, and we'll just might as well go out and just do anything you feel like. But because there is a resurrection from the dead, and Yeshua fulfilled the prophecies, a different scenario has taken form, right? To an inheritance incorruptible. So imagine having an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. So there's a, talk about a savings account. It's reserved in heaven for you. Somewhere, and I don't mean in heaven here, I'm talking about in a spiritual place, right? And these are only for the people that are kept by the power of God through faith. So believe it or not, faith is having the power of God. And another vehicle is coming, and I don't know if they're coming to us or going to next door, but we'll see. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, and you should be greatly rejoicing. I don't know if Peter's saying that. You should be greatly rejoicing, though now for a season, if need be, because you know you might have to get some of that stuff off of you spiritually. You're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Uh-oh. Going to be tried. You might be tried, you know. That the trial, you're going to be on trial. The trial of your faith. Your faith is going to be on trial. Whether you really have faith. Being so much more precious than gold that perishes. Though it be tried with fire. There's the fire. It's going to be tried with fire. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Yeshua the Messiah in someone's lifetime. Wow, that's a lot to think about. These apostles really knew how to write letters. Who having not seen, and none of us seen them either, you're loving someone you haven't seen. In whom, though you see him not, you're believing in someone you can't see. And you're rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end, the goal of your faith. What's the goal of your faith? The salvation of your soul. Yeah, that's the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. I hope that is. That's important. Looks like people are using our parking lot for next door. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, now this is something to think about, because if you think that, you know, you're just getting tried so hard, it says, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, that you will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. There's always going to be a way to get out of it if you just have faith to believe it. And faith is something you can't see. You have to sort of trust God and believe God. And it's something like you think like, well, there's no way out of this, or this is hard. But you have to have faith. And then God makes a way. And you might be tried, you know, and might be, who knows what, it could be anything in your personal life. It could be in your spiritual life. It could be in your, any, you know, job, work, school, whatever you do. So, again, how did you do these 7 weeks spiritually and physically in this desert, the wilderness of your lives, you know, the exile that we're in, you know? It's like weird, you know, because you think about it. You think about, let's see, 7 weeks went by. Was anything gained or anything lost? Did you stay the same? Did you go forward? I always think about that spiritually and physically in my life. You know, even physically in my life, I'm trying to do always something new. Like, I always think about, let's see, 6 months ago, what was I doing? Did I go forward? Did anything happen? You don't ever want to just stay the same, because usually you don't. You're usually going backwards because of things that happen in the world, even physically, like inflation and stuff and everything that goes on. You're still going backwards. So you have to always think about always monitor yourself. Where am I in God? Am I going forward? Did I do anything new? Am I doing the same old thing? There must be something new I can do, or a different direction I can go, or a different something I can do, or go a different store, or go a different street, or go a different thing, go talk to someone. You know what I mean? There's always something. Otherwise, you're spinning like a top in one area. So did you do as good as our brothers and sisters below? They were in the desert and wilderness in their lives. I always like reading this chapter because it sort of brings home, wow, maybe I better do more for God. You know, it makes me feel like that when I read this chapter. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. Because we're talking about faith. And it is the substance of things hoped for. Just think, faith is something you can't see, but it's a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Can't bring that to court because there's nothing there. No, faith.
Right.
But it's evidence. By faith, by it, the elders obtained a good report. So that's good people to look for as examples. I always look at the people of the Bible for examples of people that kept the Torah, because they're the ones that lived before us. I can see the things they did, the things they didn't do, the things they did right, and the things they did wrong. And I can see some outcomes. And even by reading, we were reading some Samuel last night. You could see like the way David acted and the way Nabal acted. And you could see the way Abiathar acted. And you could see the way Samuel acted. And, you know, you could say, well, see, I want to, which personality do I want? Let's see, what can I learn from all these personalities? And, you know, you read the story and I hope you get something out of it. And, you know, you may not like the fighting part. That was just part of their life and killing. But think about the personalities. And, you know, so through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds. Now, that could be the worlds out there. So you want to know about the solar system, right? And other worlds, there they are. The worlds were framed by the word of God. Or is that the world of history? The worlds of science? The worlds of music? I don't know. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Even in a scale, you know, a scale, there's 7 notes, right? And the 8th note's the octave. It's pretty nice. And then there's 12 keys. That's nice. Sounds like everything's framed by the word of God. And other things, you could look up other things too. So everything's framed by the word of God, that so that the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. God has made things, spoken everything into existence. And that's something you have to believe. You either believe God spoke the universe into existence, or the universe created itself. Right? You don't have too much choice. Just think, even the atheists have to have faith, because they have to believe nothing exploded. Can't prove that. That's what they say in the textbooks. I read it. It says, nothing exploded. Wow. that hurts my mind when I say that. But it takes faith to believe. What takes more faith? Nothing exploded or God made everything? I think this one takes way more faith. Nothing. Nothing's there and exploded. They teach that, you know. They got that going on big time in the universities. And by it, the elders... Okay, anyway. It says, by faith, Abel... Let's talk about some people now. Maybe you should look up Abel's life, whatever it's written about him. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So it was a sacrifice. How about that? By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. What did Abel bring? Of the sheep or something? Yeah. The other guy brought vegetables or something? Yeah. It says, but it was a more excellent sacrifice. It was witnessed that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet spoke. Remember, he said, my brother's blood speaks from the ground. Oh, am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, you are. Enoch, he's a guy, we don't have too much information about him. There's no book of Enoch. I don't remember him saying he wrote a book. He didn't have time. God, he was translated, and that he should not see death. And was not found, because God translated him. Before his translation, just think, before his translation, he had a testimony that he just pleased God. And God took him. That'd be so nice. Imagine one day you're just gone, for real. What happened to that person? Oh, God took them. Wow. Enoch must have been he's actually a pretty scriptural guy too. He's the seventh from Adam. It's pretty nice. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know that, right? Because anyone who comes to God, you must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There it is, diligently seek him. Darosh, darosh. And that's why it says it twice in two different ways, because it's emphasizing diligently. You know, it's diligently seeking him with power. Noah, we know about brother Noah. We're all going to meet him. Just think, you're going to meet Noah. I'll have to ask Noah all about that. You know, how was it? It must have been horrible being ridiculed for 100 years and mocked and made fun at. Noah being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So just think, you may not know it, but by you making a stand and keeping the commandments and the Torah and everything, you're actually, without knowing it, you're condemning your whole family that don't do it, because you have the right way and the remedy to make it to the kingdom of heaven, an antidote, and they don't want it. So actually judgment is coming. Just like the ark was, that's what that was. It condemned the world just by building the ark, because they didn't get on there. That was the only means of salvation. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. He went out, and he didn't even know where he went. He just went out. But by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him that of the same promise. Isn't that interesting? You have to look for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what you have to keep your eyes on. That's why you can't look physically all the time, I should say. Physically, you have to know where you are. But you want to make sure you're keeping your eyes on a spiritual house, you know? A foundation whose builder and maker is God. Then we have Sarah, you know? Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed when she was delivered of a child, when she was past the age. God don't care about your age. If he wants you to have a kid, you got one. Especially if there's a purpose, like she had. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. And of course, this is amazing English words here. Therefore sprang there even of one, him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Right? These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Just think, a lot of those people never got the baptism. They never seen the Messiah. They were just waiting for the coming one, the Holy One, the prophet that was supposed to come. They read about him. They believed it. They lived by faith too. These all died in faith, having seen them afar off. That's what we have to almost like have spiritual binoculars. And you have to see it afar off. There it is, the kingdom of heaven. Don't be tricked by any kind of temptations down here. Don't be tricked by anything that could lead you away. They seen them afar from. You have to be persuaded. If you're not persuaded, you'll fall. You have to be persuaded of them, and you have to embrace them. And you have to confess that, this world, we're just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We're just strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing by. You know? For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And then, this has to be read correctly. This means, if you're not really godly-minded, if you had been mindful of that country once they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. You know, the devil would have made an opportunity for them to go back. However, these people, they desire a better country, a heavenly one, whereas God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. So we have a city that's waiting for us. Wow. It's going to be a very amazing thing. I was telling Brother Zach here this morning that I was even listening to some video with this guy who was in a plane crash, you know, and the only thing that caught my attention of it was, he said when he died, he said he didn't even realize it, but he went from death right into the spiritual place, but he said, faster than you can snap your fingers. He goes, and he knew it was a spiritual place because there was no time and everything was eternal. And then he said, all of a sudden there was a light and good stuff, but then he looked this way and this black thing was coming at him. And it was frightening, the most horrible thing you could imagine. And then I shut the video off. I don't know what happened. But just to think about, I was just thinking about, like, yeah, that's the way it's.
He saw both sides.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't, I don't know what happened to him. Or I don't want to hear the rest of his, where he went or not. But you have to have this right here. You have to have this, a better country. You have to have a thought of a better place. And it's just one breath away. It's just right there. Once you expire, you go meet the Lord. You have to be like Abraham. When he was tried, he offered up Isaac. Are you ready to do that? And he that received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called. So if you knew that through Isaac everything was going to happen, and God's telling you to go kill him, wow, what would you do? That's pretty hard. Trusted God that he might even raise him from the dead, right? Of whom it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. He knew that God promised that through my seed, Abraham, you know, Isaac and Jacob later, that the Messiah was going to come. So this has to happen. God knows how he's going to do it, and I'm not going to limit God, so, you know. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Wow. Joseph's kids were who? Ephraim and Manasseh, right? Wow. They were from the Athanath, right? The Egyptian. Wow, it's amazing. No pure blood there, but that doesn't matter. They're part of the tribes of Israel, huh? Anyway, Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the parting of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He didn't want to stay in Egypt. He didn't even want his bones in Egypt. I wanted to get out of there. And then Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, means maybe something was going to happen with him. God, I mean. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Moses, when he come to years, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I don't want to be associated with that. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, which is like, that's very admirable. When he could have had all the riches and everything, he went to go be with the people that were suffering and afflicted, right? Rather than to enjoy sin for a season, it's just for a season. Our lives are like a season, you know? God makes it even simple. He says our lives are like a grass. Esteeming the reproach of Messiah. Just think, Moses was esteeming the reproach of Messiah. How about that? Moses? Yeah, he knew that the Messiah was going to come because it was told him a prophet was going to come, like he's going to be from your brethren. So he esteemed the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, because he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He knew there's something, a place that's going to be unbelievable, that's waiting for me. He forsook Egypt by faith, not fearing the wrath of the king. And this is what we have to do. And you better make sure you do this. You have to endure, as you have to make sure you're seeing him who's invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. God's no respect to person. If they didn't put the blood on the door too and do everything, they would have got killed. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, which the Egyptians are saying to do, of course, were drowned. And of course, it was definitely by faith. The walls of Jericho fell down. Wow. After they were compassed about 7 days. That must have looked really wild. Imagine doing that. Going around a city 7 times. Just doing that, blowing trumpets. I wonder what the people thought. I bet. And then we have Rahab, the harlot Rahab. She perished not with them that believed not. So it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done in the past. She received the spies with peace. In other words, she became part of the Israel of God. Doesn't matter, you might think, well, I was never a harlot. But so what? Anything you did in the past is equal to a harlot. You know, before you kept the God's commandments, you were equal to anything. Like some people think that, well, I was never in the projects. Well, so what? You're still a sinner, and no sin is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, right?
Right.
Doesn't matter. What shall I more say? What can you say more? All these people that you're supposed to be looking at in the Bible and looking at their lives, time would fail me. And maybe not, because we read about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets, right? It's nice to read about them. And that's the whole Tanakh right there. Actually, the prophets and the kings and the Samuel right there. Through faith, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Even Daniel did that. They quenched quenched the violence of fire. Wow, violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's quite a sentence, right? In other words, no matter what was thrown at them, they could see right through it. That God was going to deliver them. And if not, we're still not going to fall down and worship the golden image. You know? That's just the way it is. If it's not God's will right now, throw me in the fiery furnace. That's the way it works. Women received their dead raised to life again. Remember that? Lazarus. I don't even know how they acted after that happened. He was dead for 4 days. I mean, I can't even imagine the real reality of somebody dead for 4 days and they came back to life. I mean, we only read it on a little piece of paper there, which you try to get a little bit of a feeling out of it. But think about it, somebody dead for 4 days, and then all of a sudden, Lazarus, come forth. And this guy just breaks out of the whole tomb, you know, comes forth with his grave clothes. Others were tortured. See, everyone don't get away. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Some people go, well, if God's not going to deliver me, I'm still going to fight to the death. That they might have a better resurrection. There is a resurrection of the dead. There's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Everyone is going to have eternal life. That's the sad part for some people. Yeah, everyone's having eternal life. Some of our brothers and sisters, whether you like to think about this or not, they had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Moreover, bonds and imprisonment. That's bad enough, but some other brothers and sisters, they were stoned. Remember Stephen? They were sawn asunder. Some were tempted. Some were slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskin, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. That's your brothers and sisters. Wow. Of whom this world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth just to escape some of the things that were after them. Think how different our lives are today. But you might be tested one day. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. A lot of those people never got the promise of the Messiah, right? They died before he showed up. Most of them never got anything. They just believed. Faith, keep believing. No matter what happens, keep believing. No matter what happens, keep receiving. No matter what happens, just keep going forward. That's the kind of attitude you got to have. No matter, it's almost like, picture like, you know, and your arm fell off and you keep about to go and your leg fell off and your ear fell off and you just got to keep going. You know, you got to keep going. You got to keep going to the end. That's how you're supposed to be spiritually. Nothing's supposed to stop you or sway you to the right hand or to the left, the Bible says. Nothing's supposed to take you off track. Because straight is the way. Straight is the way and narrow is the path, right? Wow. Satan's always trying to get you off this straight and narrow path, right? Watch out. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us, apart from us, should not be made perfect. Yeah. In other words, we're all going to one day meet together, and we're all going to get the same reward up there, or in the same place. I don't know. Some people might get a different reward. You know, everyone's going to get according to what you did. Anyway, I just wanted to talk a little bit about faith and receiving today and the Father. And tomorrow is the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Harvest. Tonight starts it, really, June 11th. Tonight at sundown. And tomorrow is a Sabbath also, which is June 12th, Sunday. So we'll have two Sabbaths in a row. Tomorrow we'll talk about Pentecost. So, have faith. Receive, receive, and receive. Receive the law, the Torah, and the Spirit anew, fresh. I like that. Anew and afresh, again. Again. I mean, I love when Yeshua said this. He said to them, Shalom unto you. You know, as my Father had sent me, even so I send you. And when he, listen to this, this is so beautiful. And when he said, when he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said unto them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. that's powerful to me. I just imagine being in that room. Wow. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom. I just wanted to talk a little bit about these verses because even though they're different letters, I like to put them all in one little study so it doesn't sound like different letters. But because basically all the people, whether it's Peter or Paul or John, or they're all speaking about the same thing. You know, it's God being holy and living a life. You know, and basically, you're going to get whatever you do. Whatever you do will be done to you, you know. That's important. So pray. Read. Fast. Seek God. Do something for God during the week. Matter of fact, you should have a little mental picture in your mind. See, a week went by. What did I do? How many times did I fast last week? Even if it's a meal here and there. Anything. Did I pray? In other words, did you talk to God last week? Did you read last week? Did you talk to anyone about God last week? Because that whole week went by, and now we're on a, you know, after we're going to start another week. What did you do last week? And then start thinking about, what do you do more? What do you do more in your life? Is your life more, it's all it is working, then you come home and pass out, and you don't have a chance to, you know, there must be a way to do something. You got to figure out to do something. But anyway, and then for people that are retired, we have to always think about, what are we doing for God? You know, I'm always ready to go meet somebody or do something or talk to someone, and I wish I could find more people. I'd go round them up. I go visit people, but they don't reciprocate and come and join us. They never call us. They never come and visit us. We try our best to befriend people, and, you know, we try our best. But anyway, I want to say Shabbat Shalom to you. We'll end this study today. And God bless you, wherever you may be out there in cyberspace. And Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another seventh Sabbath of the seven Sabbaths we were told to count. We succeeded again, Father. Make us more mindful every day of our life to mark our paths, Father, to put you first in everything we do and to do something for you each day, each week, each month that we're alive on this planet. Because one day it's going to be over. And we're all going to say we wish we did more. And we wish we did more. And we just wish we got it more. But Father, while we're here today, while it's called today, let us be stronger in faith, in wisdom, and understanding, and knowledge. Give us more revelation of your word, discernment in the scripture, and discernment in matters, and understanding different hard sentences and dark sayings. Let us understand these things. Give us insight, Father, Holy God. Be with us in every step of our life, in Yeshua's name. And may God bless you with healing and strength. May God bind every devil away from us. And we thank God that we're here in this lifetime, at this century, making a stand for the living God. In Yeshua's name, amen. Shabbat Shalom. Amen. God bless you. And I will get off the mic, and it's your turn to talk. Shalom. I'll stop the video. Shabbat Shalom out there one more time. And I'll stop the audio.